sports listeners. I'm your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday.
This whole hour of Santa Barbara Teen Athletes. Woo! And we're talking all athletes. Welcome, everybody. Woohoo! We got Ryan Quirkston in the house. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
Can I call you Ry?
You can call me Ry. You can call me whatever you want. Some people call me
Ry. I like Ry. Hey, Ry. I like it. Yep. Nice. And guess who's back from a little vacation, a little mindfulness vacation? Don Sanders. How you doing, Don?
Very well.
Oh, look at you. You're very perky.
Yes. Been on the other side of the world in Thailand.
That's it. I saw you with the Feed the Elephants. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love elephants.
Oh, it was wonderful. The people, the food, the beautiful landscape, the jungle landscape.
Yeah. Which part did you go?
We went to the cities in Chiang Mai. You know, we were there for several days, and then we took a boat out to just like a jungle island that had just a small little resort, nothing fancy. It was like we were staying in a treehouse. It was wonderful, hiking in the jungle and mixing with wild monkeys and taking boat rides out to snorkel and things. It was a very wonderful trip. You know,
when you're watching the kids playing, what are they doing? Playing soccer, kick the can? What are they playing?
I didn't, you know, see that when I was in the city. I didn't observe any parks or anything where I was, where people gather like that. But I think soccer is pretty big there. Yeah, you can see what people are. They have all kinds of street markets. They have a night bazaar where they sell all kinds of stuff, and they're selling soccer merchandise. So
nice. Yeah. All right, Dr. May, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Good to be here with you.
Great, super. All right, so let's go around really fast. Let's see, anybody get touched by anything? We'll say, Ryan, what, anybody mean anything to you this last week?
Yeah, I would say my friend, a co-editor on my book, my friend Kamar Burris Khan, visited me from Boston, and he's just a wonderful, brilliant guy. He's going to college in Maine, and we had a nice couple days out here. He loves Santa Barbara and just lit up my whole week. So Kamar lit up my week. I'm grateful for him.
Nice. All right. Don Sanders, what are you thankful for?
Well, I just recently took another, you know, finished another trip around the sun, had a birthday, and it was so great hearing from people, you know, getting people's texts and what the family did for me and things like that. So got to celebrate in style another birthday.
Nice.
Happy belated birthday. I didn't wish you happy birthday, but I wish you all the best and many years to come, many happy years.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Dr. May, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for being here with you. We are in different corners of the world, but we are connecting, and I always take very useful information from each of you. So I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you.
Nice. So I gotta thank my partner, Dominique Hackett, this last week. Oh my goodness. I think I ran her around the ring three or four times trying to get these books out, taxes, everything that's just, you know, piling up. And I'm so thankful that I have somebody like her. She's tech savvy, which I am zero savvy, okay, when it comes to technology. None, okay? But I can cook, okay? This woman knows how to cook, all right? So I've been feeding her, okay? And she's very happy. So I'm so thankful that I have people in my life like her helping me, because there's certain little times during the year that, you know, you need to reach out. And I encourage anybody not to try to take on things on themselves, just to, you know, find the group of people that you need and reach out to them. And it's difficult for a lot of people. I've talked to a few friends that still have not recovered from COVID, and maybe we could talk about that and give them some tools and, you know, small baby steps to get back into in full engagement. So that's kind of the feedback that I've been getting. But I see here we've got the very talented Nick Jaden. Everybody wave the SB 360.
Thanks, Erica. I'm Nick Shaden, and you are listening to your SB 360 Weekly Sports Recap. It was a busy week for all colleges and high schools located in SB. Starting off with UCSB baseball, they are ranked 25th in the nation with a 12-5 overall record. Last week, they had a three-game series against Cal Poly SLO where they just won one out of the three games. In the win, which went into extra innings, the Gauchos won 11-10, thanks to the help of catcher Brendan Durfee. Went 5-for-7 with also 3 RBIs. The Gauchos' next game will take place this Tuesday. Moving to UCSB softball, they have a 3-2 record in conference and currently in a 3-game series versus UCSD. They split 1-1 with a win on Sunday and will finish up the series Monday. Next game is against Fresno State on Wednesday at 2 p.m., where the Gauchos will look to improve their record and hopefully make the playoffs later on this season. UCSB volleyball is having a rough start to their season where they are 0-5 in conference. However, the Big West Conference is one of the most competitive conferences in Division I volleyball, where they have multiple high-ranked opponents, such as UC Irvine, which is ranked 5th, and 2nd-ranked Hawaii. They last played UC Irvine and lost 3-0. Their next game is this Friday at Hawaii. Now, it does not get any easier for the Gauchos as they will continue to play high-ranked teams, but they will still continue to look for that first win in conference. Now, switching schools and moving to Westmont, the women's tennis team has a 1-14 record where their next game is against Chaminade this Tuesday. Westmont men's tennis has a 3-10 record with their next game being against Azusa Pacific Thursday. Both the tennis teams took on Hawaii Hilo, where they got shut out by the Vulcans. And so hopefully the Warriors will look to get some success before their season is over. Westmont baseball is off to a strong conference record where they have a 10-1-1 record. They're currently on an 8-game win streak where they just played a 4-game series against Chaminade in Hawaii. Ryan Humphreys was a pitcher in the Warriors' last win where he had 5.5 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 earned run, and 9 strikeouts. Their next opponent is Hawaii Hilo in a 4-game series as they will continue to look to keep their hot streak going. The SBCC men's volleyball team is having a better start than the Gauchos did, where they are 3-4 in conference thus far. Their last game was against undefeated Long Beach, where they took the game to 5 sets, however, ended up losing the last set 3-2. Next game is Wednesday against Santa Monica, where the Carols will look to make their record to 500. SBCC women's volleyball team is off to a hot start, starting 10-2 with an overall record and 4-0 in conference. Last week, they had a meeting in Santa Barbara where they went a perfect 5-0 against Cuesta and Glendale. In the one spots, Olivia Medina and Ashley Rossi dominated, beating Cuesta 21-9, 21-4, and 21-11 both times against Glendale. Their next games will take place next Friday against Bakersfield and Ventura. The SBCC men's tennis team just finished up their season where they landed 3rd overall in their conference and clinched a playoff berth where they will face Orange Coast this Tuesday at 2 p.m. So good luck to our Vaqueros. SBCC baseball is off to a solid start, starting 8-4 in conference. They won 2 out of 3 games versus Allen Hancock this past week. They lost Friday 6-7 in extra innings. And it was an unusual game for the Vaqueros as they used 9 pitchers. Patrick Walsh had a solid game, going 3-for-4 with a double. Next game is against Glendale as the Vaqueros will look to get back in the win column. Now wrapping it up with Santa Barbara High School, the baseball team took on Buena High School and had no problem with them. They beat the Bulldogs 7-1 and maintained their lead in first place in the Chanel League. Well, that's it for your SB 360 Weekly Sports Recap. Signing out, I'm Nick Shaden, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Back to you, Erica.
Thank you, Nick. The very, very talented Nick Shaden. Next week, Ella will be returning. She went on a little Easter break. Well, we wish her the best. Safe travels, Ella. We got a little bit of time here, Dr. D, as the side window decides to blow open magically. But, you know, you and I believe in all this stuff out of the window open. Hey, I got a fun fact for you. Do you know, what's the only sport that's ever been played on the moon? Do you know?
I'm not sure. What is it?
You don't want to play. Today you don't want to play. Golf. Can you believe that? I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. And then the only other fun fact that I have for us today is, and I just thought this was kind of cute because I was just, you know, trying to find some filler here for today's show. Do you know that it's a requirement for umpires in the Major League Baseball to wear a certain color underwear? You know what that is?
No, I don't know.
My goodness, you're not playing today. It's
I'm
black.
Sorry.
It's the reason is in case their pants split. Isn't that funny?
Okay. Well, you know, you gotta do something to protect yourself. You really do.
Yeah, we don't want to see anybody's tidy whities, as they say.
No.
There you go. All right, Santa Barbara. Hey, we've got a lot of shows. Stick with us. Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
For Teen Sports Radio, I'm Don Sanders, donsmassageohi.com, practicing body work and massage for 37 years now. And I want to present to you a hygge. A hygge is a Scandinavian term for something that gives you a warm, comfy, cozy feeling of belonging, kind of like receiving a hug, only not with actual physical hugs. And so as I'm looking around now, you got local communities, you got global communities. I was just on a trip halfway around the world, and I see some people plug into community via the internet. Some people, you know, still live on your block. But my mentor, who passed away last November, he taught that everything always starts with one person, and become somebody who is loved by everyone in your community. And that's a key thing. I think because I know people who come through this area or they live here in Ojai and they're always gone down to LA, or there's people that are world travelers and they have to plug in like Natalie does on our show, you know, from other parts of the world. But, you know, there's an analogy, like if there's a single tall tree, people will gather under it to seek shade from the hot sun or a shelter from the rain. So if people like and trust you, then all the people you're interconnected with, many who, you know, follow me here, you haven't even met yet, but you'll realize someday that there was a bond or a link that you recognize. You'll create bonds of trust and friendship that solidifies community. So, like I said, the world's a big place, all kinds of, you know, now with the internet and global commerce and everything, it's not always the people on your block, but a lot of people since COVID, we were just talking about that earlier, they got isolated during COVID. So we need to build it locally and globally of dig your roots where you stand and create this community. So whether you're living as neighbors, playing on a sports team together, entering into a business partnership, focus on growing into a tall tree, a fine tall tree for your community. So I wanted to bounce that off the team here and see what your thoughts are on that. And I was thinking of you, Erica, when I got onto this idea, when I had my hygge moment with this idea, because you've been creating community, lived in your same place since high school, and talk about the big tall tree. You have like at least four big, huge sheltering trees on your property. That's a perfect analogy that, you know, you say are cared for by arborists. So that's a perfect example right there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've definitely lived here for a long time. I've embraced the community. I've tried, graduated from Westmont. A proud warrior. I've always thought, I've said this story many a times, you have to go to chapel at Westmont. And when we graduated, everybody had to stand up and say what they wanted to do in the community after they graduated. And I was listening to these people to the left. They want to inoculate AIDS babies and going on and on. And I'm like, oh God, I stood up and I just said, I just want to coach. And I always thought that was, not, it's not inoculating babies in Africa. I almost felt that was just not enough. But it was like the thing that really made me informed to me, because it's who I am today is because of the coaches that I had growing up. So I've been very, very thankful. I mean, the four people in my life, my mentors really are my coaches. I mean, they just meant the most to me because I was at, a place when I grew up, it was, having an alcoholic father. That's all I really got to say. It's just, especially when he was in the army for 5 years, it was difficult, but challenging, let's just say. And then I had an immigrant mother. English was not her first language. So definitely a little different kind of, I chose to have a different kind of road, but I definitely appreciate the volunteers we have in the United States and anywhere in the world. You volunteer your time, you're a special being to me. I don't know. Ryan, you got to agree with me here. My little athlete, my little hockey player, all those people, all those moms making those cookies and those orange wedges after practice. We love you too. I'm not forgetting you. So.
Yeah, no, I totally 100% agree with you. I mean, it really does take a community. What's that one quote that says, like, it takes a village to raise a child or something? Right. Like that? Yeah. And I think you can find it in so many ways. I mean, for me, I found it a lot when I played hockey in high school. I mean, that community of coaches and staff and like everyone from like the youngest guys on the team to the seniors and the captains, it really like feels like a family. I mean, so when I think back to my most fond high school memories, it's all around that community. So it's so true.
Same. You too, Don. You played sports your whole life.
Yep. And what you said, I liked what you said about when you wondered if you're enough. I was always, am I enough? Am I good enough to be out here? And that kind of thing. And so, you find ways to be, you give it your best effort. And when day after day your teammates see you do that, then it starts to, build that same kind of trust. I mean, even the superstar like your Michael Jordan, he may think being the driving alpha dog for the wins and all that, he doesn't have time for all that. But actually, the great ones know that. Like LeBron James is great at building community, and if nothing else, Michael Jordan would pass along, in facing off with Kobe Bryant. He said that Kobe Bryant became like a little brother to him. And Kobe made it known that he was going to attach himself to Michael and learn everything he could from him. So whether it's just whether you just think, you're one of the supporting cast, or you think, you've come to become a star, then it's like nobody, I don't believe, is born without some kind of a mission or purpose. So you can definitely, in your sports community, start to build the foundation of what you came here to do. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes. And again, it doesn't matter, because it does take a village. It doesn't matter if you bring the orange wedges. It doesn't matter if you're that mom that picks up the kids, drops off the kids. It's all about the kids. So whatever you could do, everything matters. It's not, nothing is measured, right? Nothing is measured. Everything matters. So mom, that's bring the water. I'll never forget that. Everybody that participates is definitely solid gold in my eyes, for sure. Natalie, did you play sports when you grew up?
I did not play any sports when I was growing up, no. I was only, my only memories of sports is that it's winter, it's a lot of snow in Russia, and I have to ski, but not from the mountain, no, I have to ski on the plane. Like I'm going to from one city to another, instead of train, I'm taking ski. So
cross country! There you go!
Yes, it was, oh my God.
That's a great workout!
I hate snow. I hate snow. I always wanted to live next to the palm trees and the hot weather beach, so that's why I'm moving to Brazil.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That is freaking awesome. Oh, that's fantastic.
And so did you literally mean like going place to place on cross-country skis? Or was that just an analogy?
No, it was an allergy. I'm like, I'm not going to need this in my life. You know, I will never use this skill. Never I will use this skill. Like, why do I need to know this? You know, teach me something useful.
Yeah.
Like swimming is useful. It's super useful because, you know, our planet is full of water. Anytime, you know, something can happen and there will be water everywhere. So we have to survive. And we have to swim. So this makes sense for sure.
Practical.
Yes. Practical, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a little break. Let's fill up your coffee. Let's have a 2-minute stretch. We've got Ryan Quirk right after these messages. All you cowboys get your ride on. Now ride on. All you cowboys get your ride on. Come on in, work it for me and let your body move. We are here together and we're in the groove. Let's we gon' party tonight, we gon' dance around. Where are my steppers at? I know how to get down. Come on, step it to your right. Now step it to your left. Now right out in. We are back, and this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
All righty, we're back with Teen Sports Radio. I'm Ryan Quirk, author of An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, now available on my website, rqselfmastery.com, as well as on Amazon. In this little segment, I want to talk a little bit about chapter 2 of my book, which is The Power of Meditation. And I think anyone listening, whether you're a, you know, a young athlete, whether you're just a parent listening in, right? Anyone can really benefit from this information. Meditation has been absolutely transformative in my life, and I'm going to tell you why. But before I dive into that, I'm going to start off with a wonderful quote from globally renowned life coach Tony Robbins, which I just love so much. It's in the book. It's in this chapter. It's just beautiful. It says, if you can't find joy in this moment, in a conversation with a friend, in looking in your wife's eyes, being with your children, going on a run, if you can't find joy now, I'm here to tell you that more money, more people, more love, more business, more anything is not going to give you more joy. And that's really what brings us back to this idea of meditation, which is it's a wonderful thing to want to grow and improve in our lives, but we must enjoy the journey if we want to find lasting happiness, right? It's a wonderful thing. You know, if you're a young athlete, you might be setting goals way off in the future of what college you want to go to, what you want to do, but it's so important to stay present in that process. My younger brother, Charlie, he just finished up his senior year. He was a 2-time captain of our hometown basketball team and just an amazing captain. And he told me that he had 2 weeks left of the season, but that he was actually feeling kind of burnt out, really looking forward to getting ready to go to college. And I told him, I almost yelled at him on the phone. I say, enjoy these 2 weeks. Throw yourself into it because you're not going to get these 2 weeks back of being a captain of your hometown high school team, of trying to go far in the playoffs. They unfortunately lost. And he called me back to after that season was up, and he said, you were totally, totally right. I was only thinking about the future, and I was not present in that process. A chance to, you know, play with my friends and just enjoy that final thing. And I know Don, you just got back from a mindfulness trip, right? Do you want to have anything? Do you have anything you want to touch on about this idea of presence and how it might relate to young people and especially young athletes?
Oh, I love what you said about, you know, don't sacrifice the right now for your later, because I remember when I was going for a college scholarship in football, and my team, the guys weren't into lifting that much, really. And so there was times when I was alone in our high school weight room, and I'd get stuck on a rep and have the weight slowly lower down to my chest on the bench press. And I'd have to roll it off and let the plates come crashing off the bar to get myself out from under that. And you know, now it's a pretty golden memory that, you know, I still kept on. I wasn't discouraged in that I kept on, but it's so much more enjoyable if everybody's of a mindset to throw themselves into the process, like you're saying. If everybody's into it, whether you have a great record or you have a losing record, it as long as everybody enjoys the participation, I think that's important.
Super. I think I think with that too is this idea that there's a misconception that you need to constantly be worried about your goals and about the future in order to reach them. But I find it's actually the opposite, that when athletes learn this skill of being present in each practice, in each day, enjoying each workout session, each lifting session, enjoying each game as it comes, right? Just really living in the moment and fully taking that all in, they actually are much better equipped to reach their future goals, because every rep, every game, every practice, they're so much more fully involved and there's so much more fun in the process.
Worrying really doesn't accomplish much at all. My mom used to say, don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Yes. So the one thing that I found, especially for young athletes, that's so powerful, that really helps build this, is meditation. And we see elite athletes like Kobe Bryant used to meditate every day and before every game. Michael Phelps does a little type of meditation routine before he swims and wins gold over and over again, right? Yeah. And this idea of meditation, I think, has a lot of misconceptions around it. You know, you might picture like a monk looking figure sitting in nature, like removed from the world, right? But meditation is really so simple and so powerful for young athletes, which is really just this idea that you're just creating a little bit of distance between you and your thoughts. And as an athlete, that's so powerful too, right? Because if you have 10 million thoughts going on, but I know, Erica, you said you'd go up to that free throw line. You had a song that you used to like repeat in your head to quiet down your thoughts.
Ice, baby!
Yeah. If you have a billion thoughts going on in your mind while you're trying to do your best in a practice, in a game, whatever it is, it's going to be really, really hard. So this idea of quieting down your mind allows so much more energy, because now your energy is not going to 10 things at once, but you build this amazing, concentrated, single-pointed focus on whatever your object or goal is, right? Whether it's a practice, whether it's working on your form with something, right? So this idea of meditation is so powerful. And what I always tell people is there's a very, very simple way to implement this, which is just 5 minutes before any game, or even just 5 minutes in the morning. You can eventually build up to a 10 or 15 or 20 minute practice. But I always just tell people, if you just gave it 5 minutes, you'd be amazed at what can happen. 5 minutes before a game or in the morning, just close your eyes and sit still and just listen to a sound in the room. And that sounds like, how does this relate to my sport? What's going to happen, right? Because what that does is, instead of your mind going to 10 different things at once, you're training it to focus on one thing, which is the sound. And you're also training yourself to be still, right? So now your mind is not going 10 different places at once. You're really building that power of concentration on one thing, and you find yourself perfectly mentally clear. And it's the same thing too, which is, if you think of the nature of mind, right? If I were to tell you right now, don't think of an elephant. Don't think of an elephant.
Right. What's the I see the trunk and everything. Absolutely.
You see it, right? So if an athlete is going up, maybe it's a soccer player trying to score a goal, and they say over and over again, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss. They're so focused on missing, right? So that's not the way that you work with the mind. You can't tell your mind, shut up, stop talking, I got to focus. You can't do that. You have to direct it to one single thing. And for athletes, I just recommend 5 minutes. You can find guided meditations online. So powerful. It transformed my hockey playing career. I used to be so anxious before every game. And by my senior year, I was a captain, performing well, just having the time of my life, enjoying every single moment of it. So that's what I
like how you have in the book. It's on page 33 here. Notice how I say gentle awareness, and then it could also be called simple awareness. And that's basically what, you know, to circle back around, just to, you know, the whole thing about presence is just to be exactly like it says right here in this chapter. Be aware, present, be aware, be mindful. Try not to be, it's just really just being less scattered. So, I like it. I like it a lot. It's just like your mind is going to wander, especially if you have, I think, 1,000 things at one time. It's just, I can't even, it's so hard to stay focused. So it's kind of, I have to meditate. I have to calm myself down, or honestly, I'd be a train wreck. You know, I have to just kind of tap the brakes, because my brain just goes way too fast. But listen, we got the mental down. We've got Dr. Dale Figtree in the house, and she's going to do the dietary things that we need to watch out for. We're going to get to that more after these messages. I hear a song that takes me back, and I let go with so much freedom. Freedom. I'm going to get
can listen to Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Hi, my name is Dale Figtree, and I'm a nutritional health practitioner in Santa Barbara. My website is dalefigtree.com. And today I'd like to share some information that I believe could be really supportive of your general health. And I'd like to talk about dairy products. First of all, you know, when we think of dairy, okay, it's starting off, breast milk is amazing. It's a perfect combination of nutrients for another human being. The question is cow's milk just as amazing? And the truth is, for a cow, it is. But for humans, the intense whey protein, which is meant for a calf to gain 1,000 pounds in a year, can cause problems. In my nutritional practice over the last 30 years, I've seen many people recover from several health issues by avoiding cow's milk products. Things like asthma and allergies, as milk seems to contribute to excess mucus in a lot of people. Acne has also gone away for many, and several intestinal issues involving gut irritation have cleared up. The first thing people say when I talk about this is, what about the bones? Don't we need milk for strong bones? What about the protein, right? Well, oddly enough, milk is also high in phosphorus, which interferes a bit with the absorption of calcium. So it's actually not the best source of calcium, absorbable calcium in food. And there are many other calcium sources, especially vegetables. I mean, look at a horse and their bones. What do they eat? They eat grass. And cows, look at their bones and they give milk. What do they eat? These are vegetarian animals that eat grass. So yes, there's a ton of calcium in vegetables and greens, and seaweed is just over the top in calcium. So also a lot of nuts and seeds are strong in calcium, as well as protein. As a matter of fact, a lot of nuts and seeds are as high in protein as meat and chicken. Generally, fresh nuts and vegetables, as well as other vegetarian foods, also really support bone health. It's not just calcium to make it stronger, but bone health for flexibility. Lots of things go into that. Besides these problems I mentioned, in the last 30 years, farmers also started giving cow's milk, cows pharmaceuticals, so they produce more milk. In that time, the number of people with breast cancer and testicular cancer has tripled. And scientists know that excess hormones can be an underlying cause. So what do we do? There are people allergic to cow's milk that aren't allergic to sheep's milk or goat's milk, probably because sheep and goat are closer to human size and their milk is closer to human milk composition. And I've read that hormones are not usually given to them, excess hormones. So goat and sheep cheeses are most stores and they're a viable alternative. There are also so many delicious veggie milks. Oh my God, on the market now. Never seen so many before, like almond milk and coconut milk, even oat milk. Great dairy replacements. More and more I see dairy-free ice cream, even cheese made from nuts and seeds. So do pay attention. Next time you reach for milk, pause and think of other choices. Over time, you may find it makes a difference in some health issues as well as your general health. So any questions?
I just have a quick comment, Dr. Figtree, because that it's funny you say that because I really struggled with acne throughout middle school and early high school, and it was a huge insecurity of mine. And I became a vegetarian around the age of 12, just out of personal preference. And I found that was much more energizing to me. But then people were saying, well, like, oh, if you're a vegetarian, you need to really make sure you're eating lots of milk and eggs and like other things like this to supplement the fact that you're not eating meat. So I was, and my acne just got really bad. And I get that like kind of mucusy feeling too and stuff. So Even though I'm still technically vegetarian and will occasionally have things like cookies and stuff that have milk in it, I replaced with soy milk, has a ton of protein in it. I also do almond milk or oat milk. I switch between those. And as you can tell here, I think I'm doing okay. I think my skin feels much clearer and I feel much more energized. And so I think I love the information that you said, because I think it's it's kind of a misconception. Not that milk can be bad for everyone, but I think it is true what you said, that we got to question some of these beliefs that we've been brought up with, like, oh, milk is the best for our bones and everything like that, right? And just see what works for our bodies.
Yes, thank you for sharing. I see this a lot, and it was true with me too, that when I would drink milk, it's like suddenly I'd get, breakouts. It's crazy. But the one thing about soy milk I want to mention is that soy is a crop. They feed it to a lot of animals. It's one of the heaviest pesticide crops, and it's usually GMO. So unless soy is organic, it's wise to kind of stay away from it. So organic soy milk would be great, but if it's not organic, best to go to almond milk or something like that.
That's very good. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Well, I had to quit milk, I don't know, it's like 7-8 years ago. And then Dominique, we follow this gentleman, and he's an Amish farmer, Amos Miller. He's gone through all kinds of legal battles. Government's shutting his farms down. Government's been shutting farms down. People aren't really talking about it. But there's 500,000 farms that have been shut down, okay, because they want to see bugs. And I don't care. I hope the world hears me. No, I'm not going to eat a bug, okay? It's not going to happen. So all these little farms, because you can't tell somebody what they can grow, what they can't grow. Anyway, so we buy all of our meat from him. We buy our milk. We buy everything. And I noticed a big change, because I couldn't drink milk. And then Dominique is buying his milk products because she doesn't have an issue. And I don't have a problem with it. And I'm like, wow. I mean, it only makes sense, because his cows don't, he's not feeding them all the garbage and the hormones and everything that, we are getting at Vons or wherever you get, Trader Joe's or whatever. So then Dominique started reading about this A2 milk. So I started getting A2 milk, and I put it in my coffee, and I have no allergic reactions to it all, because I literally, well, not going to say have an asthma attack, but I'll start sneezing. I'll have this allergic reaction immediately. Okay. So this A2 milk, so I really highly recommend anybody to go look at that if you like milk. But all of a sudden, Sky Ellsworth would say to me, he goes, Erica, you have a toxic, everyone has a toxic bucket, and yours has runneth over. Okay, so.
Thank you for sharing that. But the one thing I want to mention too is that the number one cause of death in this country is clogged artery related disease. Over 50% of the people die of that in this country. And milk is high in cholesterol, if it's regular milk. So just to be aware that there are other issues, too, that might encourage you to try switching to a almond milk or something like that.
Right. Dr. Fig Tree, is like, know your body. All right. And so if you're obviously have a glass of milk and you're sneezing, and it's again and again and again and again, and you like milk, and you like milk in your coffee, I was just thankful. I mean, thank you, universe, for providing A2 milk. That's all I got to say, because it doesn't bother me. I don't blow my nose, nothing. So everybody is a unique being. And the nice thing is, if you research it and you do the self-discovery, you're going to find what you need, because you want your milk or you don't want your milk, or you want your soy or you want or whatever you want, most definitely.
I've never heard of A2 milk. I will look it up after this podcast. I'm curious about it. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Actually, I threw it out to Sky, and he gave me his whole little, Mr. PubMed. Gave me the report, because I'm like, okay, is this a placebo thing or is it real? But now it's funny, because this started a year ago and now everybody sells it. So I'm happy to see that for us. So anyway, good chatter. I guess, hey, okay, everyone looks like they want to take a little bit of a break. All right, stand up. We'll be back.
We're international, so international.
International.
Surrounded by beautiful girls.
International.
Let's go.
Santa Barbara
our teen sports radio show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday
at 9 a.m.
Alrighty, we're back with Teen Sports Radio. I'm Ryan Quirk, author of An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, now available on my website, rqselfmastery.com, as well as on Amazon. And what I'd like to talk about now, kind of a little teaser for next week's show, is each of the past couple weeks, we've kind of journeyed through the chapters of my book a little bit to give tools to young people to assist them in their mental, emotional, physical, and all types of well-being, right? We want to help people feel amazing, live happy, healthy lives. And so, so far, we've kind of journeyed through this idea of overthinking, how to combat overthinking through the practice of meditation. And then the next piece to that is we're going to talk about this idea of fear, right? Why does fear arise? How does it arise? And how can we overcome it? And I'm not going to give too much right now. I want to give other people a chance to talk. However, what I will say is this: there's a very powerful acronym that you can use, any kid can use, anyone can use, really. This is really just a timeless acronym. Dr. Dugan, you can use this as well. This is a really wonderful, wonderful thing, which is FEAR stands for false evidence appearing real. I'm going to say that one more time. FEAR stands for false evidence appearing real. So next week, we'll dive into some tools about how to combat fear a little bit more in depth. But just the next time that you're feeling a little anxious, a little afraid, a little stressed out in your day, just remind yourself of that thought. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And just that notion that the fear is false, the fear can actually be kind of a teacher. It can point out things to you about your belief systems, your thought patterns, and just by having that in mind. So I don't know, Erica, what do you think about that? Fear, false evidence appearing real.
What I do is I always, when I running around with the hair on fire, and obviously I triggered them in some way, shape, or form, and I love them, and I've had this happen to me twice this last week, and I just basically look at them right in the eyes, and I said, it's not me, and I'm not taking this personal, but what happened in your life that traumatized you so bad where I opened up the wound? That's exactly what it is, because it is not, I didn't do, because I have no intention to rip anything off. I am just being Erica. And all of a sudden you are way reacting.
Yep. You know, and then what creates that?
And I am not afraid by that. I'm just not, you are not going, I'm standing here. I'm grounded. I am staying, and I want to process it with you. And if I'm not right, the messenger, then great. Then go find a place and a space, because it's not me. I find this with my boys. If they overreact and because it's something I did and there's no intention, I'm like, what happens? How can I help you? Need a yin chow for next month? It was cold season. And then if they're going off on something, I go, man, like what bee, how did that bee fall in your bonnet? You know what I'm saying? Because this is not a me thing. You're taking it out, and that's okay. But it is like that, exactly what you just said. I love that acronym. Thank you. I'm looking so forward to that piece that you do next week. And I want to thank Dr. Dale for being here today. Don Sanders, Richard, of course, our producer. We're nothing without you. Anybody else got anything to say before we go?
Matter of fact, I would highly recommend. They say that it is 90 or more percent of what we fear or worry about never happens. So here's a thought. The next time you are afraid, if you can at least pull yourself out of that, if you're fearful, pull yourself out of that for just a couple of moments. Write down what it is you are afraid of. And then go ahead and go back into the fear if you'd like. And then in a week or so, go back to that list that you've been making of all of the things that you've been afraid of. And see how many of them came true. How many of them actually happened? In other words, the things that you were afraid of. And odds are what you'll find is that either none or a very small percentage of those items even remotely came true. And it was all in your mind. And you begin to realize, oh, then the next time I'm afraid, I need to back up and say, this isn't something that's going to happen, and replace it with something that you would like to have happen. That's just a thought on my end.
No, I tell everybody, this is how I finished the conversation with my youngest. I said, you know, of all the people on the planet, you talk to yourself more than anybody. Make sure you are saying the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's basically it. If I had to leave Santa Barbara with that, just think about what you're telling yourself, right? I'm looking forward to next week. God bless Santa Barbara.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a pusher with no brakes. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single game. Minds are powerful.